Y'all heard?
One, two, three.
Hey,
Hey,
everybody.
everybody. This is
Y'all
Y'all
heard?
Heard, a podcast where me, I almost said Pete Phillips, where me, Marissa Phillips.
And me, Marissa Phillips.
Two.
I'm kidding. I'm Pete Phillips, guys.
Gosh, I forgot. Who are not related.
This is a podcast where two friends. You know what? Sometimes we talk about ourselves before we get into a show topic. It
Yeah, just
happens, okay.
fucking over
Missy
it.
Palrang, helicopter pilot from Idaho.
Have you, they said they were a helicopter pilot?
Well, they didn't, but I Googled
Oh,
them.
dude, how do you even listen to podcasts? I mean, unless you're listening to like educational podcasts, they all start with people talking about themselves. If you don't like people talking about themselves, turn off our podcast.
By the way, guys, we got a comment from somebody on Spotify that said, maybe this topic was interesting, but you guys never stopped talking about yourself. And I wasn't offended by any of that, except she ended it with yawn.
Ew, what a, never mind. I was gonna edit myself. Cool, girl.
In other words.
We tell you things you didn't know you needed to know. Thank you. How are you?
Oh man, Marissa. Did I tell you I bought a wood chipper?
No, your mom did.
Yeah, it was fun. Except
It?
the wood chipper shakes a lot.
Okay.
When I'm done chopping stuff, there will be a bunch of screws underneath it
Oh, that sounds okay.
that have come out of it. And I have to put them back in. And some of them I know where they came from, and others I don't.
That's something you got a good wood chipper.
Yep. What do you think about the WNBA draft? Are you surprised?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm surprised it is happening.
Happened yesterday.
I don't know.
About you, Marissa? What's up in your world?
Don't know. I'm fine. No one who listens lives near me. But if you do, I will be vending at the Lancaster Zine Festival this Saturday. I know that's a plug, but honestly, I'm fine. And you know what? That's rare, but I'm fine. And we're gonna leave it at that. Let's just go to an icebreaker.
We got to do these recordings more often right after therapy.
Yeah, I literally just had therapy.
And I am fine. Marissa, I don't know if you saw, there was a thing in the news, I guess over the past few days, that Donald Trump among the myriad awful things that he's doing right now, one of the things he's doing is he put in patent requests for a phone company. Not a patent request. I forget what it's called. But basically, he's going to be starting a phone company.
How can you fucking do that when you're fucking president?
You just, I don't know. I guess you just do whatever you want.
Fucking hate this country. Yeah, come at me. I hate this country.
So, you know that for him anyway, and for his supporters, the selling point is going to be his name. They had I don't know if it was real, probably is, but like a phone that looked like it was gold, like shiny gold. So, my icebreaker question for you today, I don't know if you knew this, but apparently it's very easy. I mean, if Ryan Reynolds can do it, Donald Trump can do it.
To start a
But
phone company?
yeah.
Okay, maybe that's what I should do with my life.
Because the way that they're run is that basically you start a company and you buy secondary service off of the major cell phone providers. So you're getting a rate, and then you're trying to sell enough to make up for the rate that you're paying. And then you make money. But yeah, you're the other thing, I guess, is that you're at a lower tier of service. So you might be more likely to get cut off or something like that if there's like a busy time. Anyway, if it's so easy to start a new phone company, how would you market a new phone company? You know, like Ryan Reynolds' whole thing is like, hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds and we don't have an ad budget. Ha ha ha. Like, oh, that is Mint Mobile. Some of them are like, oh, we're available at Walmart. We're really cheap. Yeah, I don't know. Do you have any spin that you would put on a new phone service?
This is not exciting, but this is what I immediately thought. And it would probably lead to litigation, but I would just fashion my whole thing as close as possible to the New York telephone commercial, jingle, everything. Because, guys, I'm 40, and I still remember the New York telephone jingle, and I sing it around my house casually. Iconic. But I know I can't just jack the New York telephone jingle. So I would, like,
Is New York telephone still a thing? I wonder if you could, like, license their logo and that sort of thing. Come up with, like, a really old-school interface.
They don't exist. They were absorbed. The fuck? They were absorbed by Verizon. I'm going to bring back New York telephone, y'all. And I don't even live in New York. That's what's going to set me apart. I'm not going to be New York-based, but it's going to be called New York telephone.
Yeah, no, I like that. Because then, like, people in middle America can no longer blame the coastal states.
Yeah. So I'm just going to become New York telephone. That's my answer. Nice. And guys, if you have not heard the New York telephone jingle, just Google it.
I'll put it in here.
Okay, thank you.
If I remember. And I'll probably kick myself when I'm editing this.
Okay.
The world can be so cold. No time to share the time. You make new friends, then lose the old. So much lost until you find where all.
Tell you about it, I'll be home soon.
How about you?
Fart phone?
Okay, meaning?
It's going to be like when it rings, it farts and you can't change the ringtone.
Okay, I like it.
And I think some people will like that.
Are you going to have like Andy Milonakis in all the commercials?
No, I could do better than him, right?
I don't know how to answer that. like, can you pay for better than him?
Maybe. I'll get whoever designed the Mucinex mascot to.
Oh, you know what though? That's a good fit though. I agree. I do agree.
Yeah.
That's a good answer.
Oh, let me check my fart phone.
But like, can you at least change to different types of farts?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Okay. Like a wet one or a really long one.
Sometimes, yeah. You know, like if you're a person who farts a lot, you might think like, oh, did my phone go off or did I just fart? So.
Yeah. Okay. So cool. I like that.
Thanks, Marissa.
That would have really, really intrigued people in the gross out, like, Nickelodeon era.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're still around, aren't they? Are they?
Yeah, but they're not like, kids are cool and parents drool anymore. They're just like boring.
But they're adults who maybe they'll like fart phone for nostalgic purposes.
Oh yeah, I could totally see that. Yeah. 100%. Which by the way.
Oh my God, and it's every kid's first cell phone. Like the only way the parents will get the phone is if we get them a fart phone.
I like that. Before I segue into my topic, I just want to say, and I did not fact check this, but my celebrity news podcast told me that Ryan Coogler is going to make an Animorphs film. And my question is it for children or is it for us? That is what I want to know. Anyway, speaking
of things. That guy's busy.
I know. Speaking of things, I don't know if you want to know, but I just want to let you all know and let Pete know, and I'm sure he's glad that I'm not doing this, that my topic was originally going to be related to pig orgasms and weird animal sex information. One of our listeners, who I won't out them in case they don't want me to, told me they saw online that pigs can orgasm up to 30 minutes and that I might want to do a show about that. I didn't think I could do a full show on just that.
Yeah.
But I wanted to use it as a jumping off point. Eventually talks about ducks and their corkscrew penises, things like that. But it's very limited info about the pig orgasms. I could not find, other than the Guinness Book of World Records, which is really vague, I could not find a reputable source. So it
seems
like
take that person who suggested it.
It's wrong, but apparently there used to be a BBC article about it. There was one article cited the BBC article, but the BBC article no longer exists. So I was just like, all right, so I got to move on.
You got to like save this one for later after you do some
deeper research.
Yeah, some hands-on research.
Speaking
of jacking off pigs.
Speaking of doing deeper research, I feel like this episode can't do justice because what I'm going to talk about, I feel like it could be a whole series. I'm obsessed with this man. And I kept being like, oh, I should do him. I lament the fact that I didn't have time to watch a documentary prior to the show. But today I'm going to talk about Darius McCollum. Do you have any idea who that is?
Nope.
This is a neurodivergent man who has been arrested over 30 times for bus and train theft. And if you're not familiar with Darius, you might think this is just a tale about simple theft or criminal behavior. But you would be very, very wrong. So McCollum grew up in Queens, very close to the F train. He took a strong interest in trains from a very young age, around 3, after he first rode a train with his mother. That interest quickly turned into something of an obsession, and he would spend hundreds of hours throughout his youth, just watching the nearby trains come and go at the station near his house.
That must have been so great for his parents.
Yes.
Like just leave him there.
And by the time Darius was just 8 years old, he had memorized the entire subway network. He had studied, all the routes and everything, and he knew it by heart.
Nice.
When Darius was 11, he had a traumatic experience. A classmate stabbed him in the back with a pair of scissors, apparently unprompted, and punctured his lungs.
Mm.
For some reason, but
a little Caesar.
Okay. After that event, there was a change in Darius, and he seemed to really distance himself from, obviously from school. I could see that. But not only from school, but his family, and just really put all of his focus and efforts into trains. He began skipping school.
Because trains won't stab you.
He got there right. He began skipping school.
They can't hold the knife.
Yeah, they don't have opposable thumbs. He began skipping school. He basically was avoiding his parents entirely and just really spending as many hours as possible on the subway, watching the trains, getting on the trains, talking to the people who worked on the trains.
That was close.
Yeah.
Talking to the train.
Yeah. Did I say that? Oh, no. I didn't say that. Okay. Phew. While his parents, tried everything to get things back on track, they changed his schools. They got him psychiatric treatment. I actually heard that they tried to lock him in the house because he just kept leaving and going to the trains. But really nothing could keep him away from the draw of the subway and just general transit in general. Subways were his main thing, but he liked all New York transit. So since he spent so much time among transit workers, he became friends with a whole bunch of people in the MTA, so the Metropolitan Transit Authority. In fact, like he apparently was incredibly friendly, incredibly polite. Like some people have described him as like a total gentleman. So he really charmed everyone there and they welcomed him. In fact, he bonded with one conductor who he nicknamed, I don't know why, Uncle Kraft. And this guy gave him lessons, occasionally allowing Darius to drive the train, not with people on it, but occasionally allowing Darius to drive the train on a stretch between the final stop of, between the final stop of the day and the train depot. Like, you know, when the train's done for the day, he would let him drive it into that. But his train driving lessons did eventually expand from there. His friendships with other workers allowed him to learn all aspects of public transit. Like he learned a bit about like how to drive the train, how to like schedule the routes, how to like de-ice the train. Basically everything there is to know. He like had someone explain it to him.
How to shovel in the coal.
I was like, is that a thing? Sorry, I'm an idiot. And by his early to mid-teens, he'd actually driven the subway train dozens of times, thanks to all the friends he made.
You're not saying this word, but my guess is probably supervised.
Yeah, as far as I could tell, supervised at that young age. I can't tell you 100%, but yeah.
But usually, even if you're kind of like at the end of the route, you're like, hey, I'm sorry, I already forgot his name.
Darius.
Hey, Darius, why don't you just drive this one home? I'm going to like sit back with a bag of chips or something. Like there's still somebody, like you could still like push him out of the way and like slam on the brake if you had to.
Well, I would say, I think at this young age, yes. But I will say at other points, I don't think that was always the case that he was supervised. But at least at this young age, I think so. At 15, someone actually gave him his first official MTA uniform.
Whoa, that was a mistake.
Yeah. Quote, I can't compare that feeling to anything, he said. I felt like this is me. Like, this is where I belong. However, 15 was when Darius was first arrested. He had driven the E train with passengers on it for 6 stops after being handed the controls by one of his friends, a driver who was sick. It's actually unclear how he was discovered because he completed the ride completely without incident. Like it was a totally smooth ride. He's just not supposed to be doing that. And he's fucking 15. But that would mark the first in a.
No. Why did he get arrested?
Yeah, I don't know. Right. What do you think? It would just be the guy who told him he could do it.
The guy who like gave him the keys.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I don't know.
Sorry. Now, I guess we're saying that like the bar should be arrested if somebody's a drunk driver. But no, what I mean is the drunk driver is putting in the keys, turning. Nope. You know, my argument fell apart. Yeah, I guess it's all his fault.
But also,
he's 15.
He should get in trouble, but also the other person should get in trouble. It's not fully him. So this would mark the first in a long string of arrests. That said, the arrests didn't stop him. By the time he was 18, Darius was unofficially covering workers' shifts off the books on a pretty consistent basis. Like if someone was sick or they're like,
if he's getting paid?
I heard that like sometimes they would like people independently would pay him to cover the shifts.
But he wasn't like on the books.
No, he wasn't on the books. And sometimes he would like, he kind of knew how to like stagger it so he couldn't get caught. And you may be thinking, well, why didn't this guy just ever apply to work for the MTA? Why is he going through all this effort to like do it secretly? Well, apparently he did apply to work for the MTA when he was 17 and again when he was 18, but both times he was turned down, most likely due to the arrest when he was 15. So really that first arrest, like kind of like, you know, was kind of screwed him for the rest of his life.
But it shows zeal.
I know. It does
show. It's like when the kid like hacks the Pentagon on computers and then they're like, we're going to give you a job being a hacker.
They should be like, we're going to hire you. You're in charge now. By the mid-1990s, Darius had become something of a cult figure in New York, particularly after the MTA posted thousands of wanted posters in trains and stations so that riders could report any sightings of him. Because he would occasionally like drive the trains under a made-up name. But he got away with things quite often because he was exceptionally good at the job. And he's been described by riders as friendly and extremely helpful. Like, even the cops that arrested him like him. Everyone likes him. So by the year...
It's like Denzel Washington in Training Day. Well, no, I guess it's not.
I've never seen that.
No, there's a presumption during part of the movie that all of these people like him.
Oh, okay.
Even though he's breaking the law. But then I forgot later when he's not on top, they show their true colors and they don't like him.
There was that other movie where Denzel Washington's kid is sick and they won't.
Oh, yeah. Like, John Q.
Yeah. Anyway, okay.
Next week's topic.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot about the movie. But I mean, I just talked about it, but I forgot it was called John Q. By the year 2000, Darius had been jailed 19 times for transit-related crimes. That year, he pleaded guilty to charges of forgery and burglary for signing out a train according to the proper MTA procedure to perform customary duties, which included extinguishing track fires, supervising maintenance, and then signing it back in. So basically, anytime he, quote unquote,
so he's getting arrested for working for the city.
Yes. He literally is always just doing exactly what he's supposed to do. The one thing he did, though, he did forge this paperwork that kind of made it seem like he was, like in training. Like, something people would be like, okay, are you supposed to be here? There's just paperwork he forged. But, literally never doing anything wrong other than he doesn't work there. But he's doing the job, and he's doing it very well.
Yeah, he's probably doing it better than a lot of people. Like, yes. He knows the routes. He can't get lost.
Yeah. And even though 19 arrests, is a lot. Well, eventually he has more than 30. And even though that sounds like a lot, by Darius's estimation, he says he's probably gotten away with transit activities at least thousands of times. So the year 2000 was a significant time for Darius for other reasons, because in 2000, he was first diagnosed with Asperger's syndrome. And then 4 years later, he was reevaluated and diagnosed with autism. Now, I'm just going to say, I thought Asperger's was like similar, like not the same, but I thought it was related. So if I'm referring to this wrong.
I thought it was on the autism spectrum.
Yeah. So just know that if I am referring to it incorrectly, this is information I got from an article. So I apologize if I'm referring to it incorrectly. But I was told. What?
Can I also ask what age is he at this point?
Oh, that's a good question.
Like, is this after arrests or before arrests?
Oh, after. He's already been arrested 19 times.
Okay.
So meaning, so
I assumed you were telling it in order, but I just wanted to check.
So this is noteworthy because it obviously should like kind of play a role in how Darius is treated and sentenced for his crimes. But unfortunately, for many years, it did not. For over a decade after his initial diagnosis, judges failed to take this into account and just simply send Darius to standard jails, not instead of like specialized facilities or anything like that. I think he was also diagnosed with depression as well. So back to his arrests. There's many, so let me go through a few more. In 2005, he was arrested at a Long Island railroad yard with the keys to an M7 rail car in his pocket. They had been given to him by an MTA employee who had given him their shift.
Where's the crime?
Yeah.
The crime that he has the keys in his pocket? He's not actually behind the wheel at that point. I don't know.
They feel like their crime's light.
But I guess, if you are a person who's, I don't know, like vandalizing with spray paint on a wall or something, and you become known for that, then probably if people see you near any wall, they're going to call the cops, and the cops are going to give you a hard time.
But it's like so interesting that, like, despite all this, the MTA workers still keep giving him their shifts.
Yeah.
But,
and probably giving him like a sandwich for payment.
Yeah. So after they arrested him, he pleaded guilty to attempting to steal a locomotive and was sentenced to 3 years in prison. If it means anything to you, he was sentenced.
I feel bad. I feel bad. It's like I'm cutting in all the time. But yeah, okay. If your parents give you the keys to the car and then you are caught outside next to the car with the keys in your pocket, you didn't steal the car.
I know. I don't know. Because maybe he was just, yeah, I don't know. I guess he must have been somewhere.
What? He probably just got a public defender for all of these cases and just didn't stand a chance.
So here's the thing.
Not that I'm saying I'm better than a New York public defender, but.
Well, here is where, like I said, like I felt like this could have been longer, but I felt like then it would have really went in a lot of meandering directions. But basically he had a bunch of lawyers that did fuck him over, and eventually then he got a good one. But yeah, he had, and I don't even think it was a public defender at first. I think he got some like celebrity lawyer that was like kind of using him for fame, and then he just like abandoned him, and then someone else was a shitty lawyer. So yeah, he didn't have great representation. But also I will say, other than forging the documents, Darius, probably the reason why he was arrested for that is because he'll tell you exactly what he was going to do. I was reading an account that they found him. He was basically like inspecting a train, and I guess the conductor was not his friend, and the conductor told the cops, "That guy doesn't work for us." And the cop was like, "Do you work for this place?" And Darius first gave him the forged documents. But after they were like having a longer conversation, Darius was just like, "I'm sorry, you got me. I don't work here. I just pretend I work here, and I was inspecting it even though I'm not allowed to." So meaning they probably found him in the hidden. They were like, "What were you going to do?" And he was like, "I was going to steal the train." Like, he's just very honest, apparently.
Yeah.
So,
but that also leads me to believe that the forged paperwork maybe wasn't an idea that he came up with on his own. Maybe one of like the people that he works with was like, "Hey, why don't you carry this paper around with you?" You know,
you might.
I'm making stuff up, but
you might be right. I don't recall if it was his idea or not. What was I going to say? Okay, so after pleading guilty to attempting to steal a locomotive, he was sentenced to 3 years in Sing Sing, and then he was released, but then was re-imprisoned for breaking parole after he was found in possession of railroad property. No idea what the property was. On June 13th, 2008, so this is 2 years later, he was arrested again as he tried to enter a restricted area of a Midtown station. He was dressed in an official worker's uniform. McCullen was charged with criminal impersonation, criminal trespass, and possession of burglary tools. So he had a hammer, a screwdriver on hand, which were typically carried by all MTA maintenance workers.
Yeah.
So
it's just part of the costume, dude.
Yeah. So that's like kind of a pushing it. But you see, that's why I don't see, like, I would think all of the crimes would be impersonation and trespass. Like the other one, like, you're right. Like, how do they prove who's going to steal it? I don't know. But, and then, just a few months later, he was arrested at Penn Station on October 5th for impersonating a Long Island Railroad employee and answering passengers' questions. Oh my gosh. I gotta say.
They probably can't get a real employee to answer their question.
No. This whole story is basically depressed. On August 31st.
We are also open to the possibility that there's more sinister side to this, but we just see a nice kid who's trying to help people out.
There might be a more sinister side, but I haven't found it. In 2010, in August, so 2 years later, Darius was arrested for the 27th time and was charged with grand larceny and possession of stolen property in connection with a theft of a private bus from a Trailways of New York terminal in Hoboken, New Jersey. So according to police, well, this one sounds a little, I kind of want to know how this happened. But according to police, Darius allegedly boarded the bus that morning and discovered the keys were left in the ignition, which, what's that person doing?
Where did this happen? Was it in the yard?
In Hoboken, New Jersey, in the terminal. Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that. I imagine that happens all the time.
Yeah, you're probably right.
About where I'm at, because you just walk away and, yeah, I don't know.
Well, Darius is then accused of commandeering the bus, with the theft going unnoticed for 2 hours.
Okay, so he got, yeah.
as Darius drove around JFK International Airport and Jamaica, Queens. Again, I just want to make it clear, I'm not exactly sure like how they found out, because none of these all go on without incident. He always drops people off where he's supposed to drop them off.
Picking people up and putting them down?
Yeah, he always is like, it's working as it needs to. Mm-hmm. McCollum or Darius was taken into custody without incident. Police stated that Darius is, quote, very smart. He's not a dumb guy, and that he was a gentleman during arrest and processing.
Makes a big difference, you know. If you're compliant and everything, I'm sure the police really appreciate that.
Yeah, he's incredibly compliant. Like I said, the one cop that has interviewed him more than anyone basically is like, Darius is a great guy. Sometimes Darius visits me just to say hi. Like, now in 2015, so 5 years later, Darius was arrested for stealing a Greyhound bus by the Port Authority bus terminal in Manhattan. He drove this bus for 2 hours again. 2 hours seems to be the sweet spot until his arrest. And again, without incident, he was committing a crime, but he proceeded exactly as necessary, driving the proper route, making the stops right on time. But, you know, I know it's illegal. I know. Now, there's been a lot of crimes, as you've heard. I just want to make it clear that it wasn't until 2018 that a judge finally took Darius's autism diagnosis and mental health into account. Previous judges had been asked to take it into account, and a bunch of them had just been like, no. No, he knows what he's doing. I mean, you could be autistic and know what you're doing, but I mean, like, you should still, like, take that into account, like, how you treat it, like, how you treat him and how, like, what, how you proceed. So at that time, Darius.
Yeah, they could make him, like, the conductor on one of those, like, little trains at, like, a park.
Oh, those are so cute. I wish that was my job.
Yeah, then he would get his fix. And it would be less likely to cause people trouble. And he'd still get to be nice to people.
I think you need the underground, the speed, the underground. Yeah. At the time, Darius took a plea bargain in which he agreed to go to a psychiatric institution for a, quote, indefinite period of time. And in October 2018, so just a few months later, the judge ruled that Darius was becoming dangerously mentally ill. Now, granted, I don't know exactly what they mean by that. And he was sentenced to the Mid-Hudson Forensic Psychiatric Hospital, which is a prison facility for the most dangerous imprisoned criminals. Like, what?
Marissa didn't say this. Today, my topic is the system and how it fails people.
Yeah. I was hoping I would get like a really clear update on where he is today. I will say, at least thankfully, as of 2025, he has been moved to a facility for nonviolent offenders. And I read that he's supposed to be having regular hearings to decide if he's still, quote, dangerously mentally ill. But like, he agreed to go for a, quote, indefinite period of time. So I don't even understand if he's ever coming out.
Yeah.
So I'm just really depressed. Because I'm going to say something scandalous, but he's kind of awesome. I know that's scandalous. I'm not saying he doesn't need to serve
There are people who are like, Luigi Mangione is awesome. So this is a lot less scandalous.
Yeah. He's 61 years old now, by the way. And like I said, he's still in a facility.
But like, you've probably interacted with people who are on the spectrum. Of course, depending on where he is, you put him in a mental institution. around other people who are not in the same way as him.
Yeah.
Like, but are disturbed or perhaps inclined to like deviance.
Yeah.
Then yeah, maybe he gets defensive and maybe he, you know, pushes, shoves, punches, kicks shit out of somebody. I don't know.
But yeah.
Like, and then what? He's now labeled a violent offender for the rest of the time that he's in there. I don't know. It just, I realized that I can at least say for me, I am making up a bunch of stuff trying to make this guy, like, I'm trying to like give him the benefit of the doubt. Maybe I'm going too far, but at the same time, like I said, I feel like sometimes when you put somebody in the wrong place for what they did.
Yeah.
You sometimes create more of a problem than if you were to, again, like put him in some sort of program where, yeah, like maybe he's working with them. And I guess though they couldn't trust him. Like even if he was like, okay, well, I do inspections, but I don't drive trains anymore. They probably can't trust him to not just hop on one of the trains and drive one if he wants to one day or something like that.
I guess so. But like, put him in an information booth where he's like, I don't know. It's just like, you like trains? Well, we're never going to let you. Never.
Yeah. Like, okay, I'll try buses. No.
I don't know. But I will say, like, I actually, there are obviously, like I said, there's a documentary, which I wish I had time to watch ahead of time. And there were articles, but a lot of, like, the more recent stuff is, like, people, like, not like, big news outlets. It's just, like, people who take a real interest in his case, like, who've talked to him and, like, kind of saying how things are. And one person was saying that the facility he's in is pretty depressing because, like, he's an incredibly intelligent man. And he basically just watches TV all day, maybe gets, like, a little bit of time to, like, I don't know, play basketball or something. And it's just kind of like he's wasting away and, you know. So, what?
When I did the Long Island UFO thing, that guy too, John Ford, they put him into an institution until question mark. And that's where he is today too. Not saying the same institution, obviously.
Yeah.
But it is scary. That's why that movie, Unsane is one. It's like always in a queue on any of my services that has it hosted because the woman checks herself into the hospital, but I don't know if she fills out the wrong paperwork or something, but like everything she does just gets her more and more time in there until she doesn't really have any control over anything anymore. I guess that's a plug. Sorry. Go ahead, Marissa.
That sounds horrible.
It just seems crazy that, yeah, in a system like this, that you can be, yeah, put in a place indefinitely. Although I guess, but again, for like, I don't know. If you took the same exact thing and you didn't make it trains, but you made it bombs, then yeah, that guy should probably be someplace. And yeah. I guess you could kill a bunch of people on a train too, but I don't know.
Didn't that Now You See Him? No, you know the movie Now You See Me, Now You Don't or whatever? No, that's the wrong movie. That's a magician movie.
Yes,
Catch Me If You Can. Catch Me If You Can.
Oh, I haven't, no.
It's, if I remember correctly, it's based on a true story about a con man who conned a billion people in very dangerous ways, but he was so good at it that I think like the government like had him help them. So it's not like that never happens. Yeah. Where if you're good at crimes, that then they use you.
I bet too, like if it wasn't the New York public transit, if it was like a privately owned place, they probably would have figured something else out to do with this guy.
Yeah, I also
they probably would have hired him. I hate to say it this way, but like made him some sort of, you know, mascot of the system or something.
Or like ambassador. That was
better. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But basically people speculated that like the MTA wouldn't dare after that first arrest because like he kind of became notorious. Like he became a cult figure, like I said.
And we don't want to teach children that if they start stealing trains, they get jobs.
Yeah. Now, I want to make it clear if anyone else listening is familiar with this story. And if, like, this is kind of a nuanced story, and you know, it, there are two sides to things. So if I got anything, like I read a number of articles, but like I said, I didn't get to watch the documentary, and this is not my full-time job. So if I made a mistake, or miss something key, feel free to reach out 570-POD11, but do it nicely. Okay. but yeah, anyway, that's all I have. Yeah, I'm just fascinated by him. and it's tragic whether or not, you know, whether or not he deserves to be locked away because he did commit crimes. You can't argue that it's not tragic that like someone wants something so bad. And they basically can never legitimately do it ever.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so.
It really is. Because it's like, you know, if you were like, I love tomatoes. And people were like, you can't ever have a tomato again. Can yeah. I smell it? What about ketchup? No.
Like, yeah. Yeah.
Just that simple fact that, yeah. Like the guy can't even go and ride on a train. I was gonna, I didn't ask because I didn't think you would know, but I was like, I wonder if this guy's ever ridden in a plane before. That he'd probably think that was awesome too.
Oh yeah, I don't know about that. I'm not sure about that. See, that would, that makes me scared, more scared for some reason, but,
you know, there's a lot of stuff between the cockpit and the passenger. So I yeah, think, yeah. I don't think he's gonna just sneak in there, but.
Yeah.
Plugs.
So you have any plugs? I'll say that my plug, I haven't seen it, so I can't vouch for it. But I did read one person say that they thought it was very well filmed and sensitive to the topic. If you want to learn more about him, the documentary is called Off the Rails, and it's from 2016. Not sure where you could stream it exactly. I think you could get it on Prime Video or Apple TV just by looking at Google. But yeah, Off the Rails, if you want to learn more about Darius McCollum. You? Plugs?
You know what, Marissa? Huh. I want people to call us and tell us what we should be into. You give
what
us,
we should be into?
You give us the plugs.
Oh, okay. Again, that is 570-POD11. You can email us at
yallheardpod@gmail.com.
And we're on Patreon at patreon.com/yallheard. As always, you can slide into my DMs on Instagram at @RissVandal. And like I said, if you're in the Lancaster area, check me out at the Zine Fest.
Don't just check it out. Buy something if you go. Even if yeah. you already bought it, buy it again.
Oh, I have a bunch of zines that no one's seen yet.
Okay, so, there you
yeah,
go.
I have like I have 5 new zines no one's seen. So yeah, there's stuff you could buy, bro. Sorry, I called all of you bro. Thanks for listening, not watching. Bye.
Bye. Yeah. Bye.